So hi, my name is Chris. I like to wear sunglasses. And today, I'm going to talk to you about how hiring SREs may just be literally impossible. So for a bit of background on me, I'm an SRE. I work at an company called Go Cardless. A few months ago, I was at an conference. I got talking to an friend, and I made an dumb comment, which turned into the title of a talk. And like, obviously I said this in exaggeration, but it is literally true. Over the course of that conference, I got chatting to a bunch more people from various companies of different sizes and different newness versus oldness. And there was a common theme, is that none of them could hire people quickly enough. None of them could hire at a sufficient rate to fill their team. I'm going to split this talk down into two parts. I'm going to look at the problem, and then I'm going to propose a solution to it. So what is the problem? It turns out that the Google SRE book sets out right at the beginning of the management chapter that even by Google's overall standards, SRE candidates are really hard to find and even harder to interview. So this is despite looking at a company that already has a well-established approach to SRE, and they've literally written a book on it and they find it hard. And I think the main problem is that, like, as roles go, SRE is kind of weird. Like, for starters, it is absolutely full of breadth. Like, this may be the engineering team with the most width in what it has to know in the entire company. Like, to give you an example, you probably need to know something about databases, caches, queues, proxies, networks, DNS, operating systems, and observability stack, which probably means monitoring metrics, log aggregation, tracing. You need to know about provisioning. You probably need to know packaging, deployment, et cetera. And the list just keeps going, and you have to find some way to cope with this. And at that same conference, I saw a really awesome talk by Julia Evans from Stripe. And she did this whole thing about, like, so you want to be a wizard, how do you learn your wizard skills? And the whole point of that talk was about building a career where you are continuously learning, and particularly in these infrastructure roles where your sort of remit to learn is so huge. Unfortunately, SRE is also full of depth. At times, you have to go extremely deep on a piece of technology. Like, if you drew this graph of, like, things that you know and how much knowledge you have in those things, you probably know about a lot of different things, a little bit. And there's probably a few things that you know really well. Perhaps you know about them because there was, like, some horrible incident that took the site down and you had to learn why on earth that happened in order to fix it. Or maybe it's a piece of tech that you spend a lot of your life around, such as your primary database. You spend time around it, so you learn about it, and it's one of the things you know well. It's often great getting to learn from incidents because you can get a totally sort of intricate knowledge of a piece of tech. In one case, we managed to shave a couple of hundred millis off every post request inside our infrastructure by doing something like that. It's a lot of fun. Lastly, I think this is something that's just like very true when you're trying to convince people to do an SRE role. The idea of on-call is daunting. The pager can be a scary thing to hold. And while I mentioned that we get to learn from our incidents, like, they can be very stressful at the time. You're not thinking about learning when you're being woken up and having to fix the site. And I went searching for cheesy pictures of pages, but I thought this thing was way better. And it was a note someone left saying, "Sean, this thing beeps really loud. Can you please take it with you or hide it? Mandy, smiley face." Like, this is one of the things I've found with many new SREs have, like, the most worries about, is, like, what if the site breaks at 3 a.m.? How is this going to impact my life? And, like, be real, it's not something most people would choose to have in a job. Like, no one would say when they're planning their career, "I would like to be woken up in the middle of the night. That's my ideal career." Now, this may be a bit more contentious and, like, get people angry on Twitter, but whatever. SRE is kind of this new take on existing roles. And, like, for the last 10 years, we've had this whole DevOps thing going on. And I get that that brought a lot of the ideas to the table. But for me, DevOps is an approach rather than a role. DevOps, for me, was about automating away all the boring bits of sysadmin work, getting rid of all the stuff that we just didn't need to be doing anymore, and working more closely with developers to pick up techniques from them in order to do that. I'd argue that SRE is just that bit more specific. Sorry. You can look at what an SRE is as a person or, like, as a candidate, and they probably have a more concrete set of things that they agree on that form part of the role. They'll have some knowledge of SLOs, SLIs, SLAs. They'll have some knowledge around on-call, writing post-mortems, building resilient systems, and some sort of infrastructure base underneath that. DevOps, I would say, is generally more broad. So, how's this going right now, hiring at GoCardless? Many thanks to our people team, I'm able to share our statistics for our hiring pipeline for SRE specifically. In 2017, we've had 160 applicants. 45 of those did some sort of remote test, both log into a virtual machine, work through some exercises, and try to solve some problems. 15 of those made it to final round, and we made two offers, and very thankfully, both of them accepted. In terms of hiring at the rate we want to, as a growing company trying to go big, the odds are against us when we want to staff our team faster than this. So how else might we find enough SREs to manage this growing set of services, this growing product, before it outstrips our pace? So, a solution. Where else can we find SREs? What if we could grow them instead of finding them? It turns out, internal hiring is a thing. Companies do this all the time, and I think it's personally very healthy in stopping silos from forming within companies. Some of your devs would love to do the SRE role. They may just not know it yet. They may not really know what it involves. And like, hi, this was me a couple of years ago. I started in GoCardless as a back-end developer working on our Rails apps, and I gradually got more and more interested in the infrastructure team, got chatting to them, eventually started working with them on a few pull requests, and then joined. So how do you get your company doing that, assuming you think that it's a good idea? I'm going to break that down into three parts. First, you want to find people who are interested. Second, you want to show them what the role looks like, the good and the bad. And lastly, if they decide to join your team, then you have to mentor them. It's on you to help them grow into the role. So let's focus on finding them. I've got three sort of main signals that I would look for, but they're far from exhaustive, and there are many more. The first is that they jump at tricky problems. In SRE, you are often dealing with the weird interactions of multiple systems. And some people will gravitate towards solving problems that look like that. You can encourage them to do more of it, and you can also act as a sounding board whenever they've run into a brick wall. You can be there for the rest of your team. When dealing with infrastructure, you often have to pull things apart in order to improve your understanding of a system's behavior as a whole. Again, you can see people who do this, pulling apart the stack that their application runs on in order to improve how it runs in some way. And that may mean that to debug an issue, they have to pull apart, well, the request is arriving at some proxy, it hits the app talks to some database, and then all of those things are probably making calls into like OS-provided functionality, such as the TCP stack. People who are good or who tend towards doing that may well make good SREs. And lastly, there's a huge non-technical point, and that is empathy when things break. Now, this is an example from our Slack, one of our channels, where we'd had some incident, and someone piped up and just said, hey, let me know if I can help out too, even if it's just to do with drafting comms, that could be internal or external comms. And for me, this is massive. When something goes wrong, showing up and like offering to help, empathizing with the tricky situation your colleagues are in, is just such a huge key skill in SRE. And if you see people doing that, then yeah, maybe you should get talking. Now, I want to put this disclaimer here. People can learn things. If people in your company don't display those like particular qualities, like don't use that as a reason to exclude them as SREs. Don't use this to sort of banish people and say, well, they don't do X, Y, and Z, so they can never be an SRE. I don't want people to go away and like use this list in a bad way. But I think it is useful for spotting people in a sort of positive sense. So, maybe we found our SREs now. How do we show them what it's like? I think the biggest thing for me is building an open operational culture within your company. You want to show those developers who may join your teams what it's like and how your team works together to solve incidents. For example, if you have some sort of nasty downtime, write good postmortems that are aimed beyond your team. don't just think about your immediate colleagues, other SREs, other infra people when you're writing it. Think about other developers, maybe even other parts of the company who want to know more about that incident. They will then interact and help you make the postmortem better by asking questions and starting discussions. And they get to see how your team works. This can be way more informal as well. So showing how you debug problems together, for example, in Slack, can go a long way to encouraging people to engage with your team. If you scurry all of this away into some private Slack channel, then no one in your company knows how you work. And like, you will turn into the weird team in the corner, which is the absolute worst thing that can happen to an SRE team. It's like, I also think SRE and infra teams in general are most prone to this risk because they often work with stuff that's not exactly commonly understood. I'm guilty of talking a lot about ops in this talk, postmortems, incidents, learning from failure. But talk about your projects as well. One of the big distinguishing factors of SRE from other similar roles is that we work on projects to improve our infrastructure in the long term. And depending on whose guidelines you're listening to, you will hear numbers somewhere between 20 and 50% of where you should cap your expenditure of time on ops. If you've hit or gone past 50%, your team's in not great shape, basically, when it comes to this. You're probably burning that team out very gradually or not so gradually on ops work. So I think these are a really important guideline to focus your team on those longer term investments that also look appealing to potential hires. When you do that project work, make sure you talk about it. So one of the big things at GoCardless is that we always have project kickoff documents. And again, they're designed to be accessible to people outside of the team. People will see these, become interested in that kind of work, and if it's for them, they may well join your team in the end. Also, it stops you from becoming the weird team in the corner. The public stuff you write, you know, when you've had like something so great that you just want to share it on your blog. This is not just for the public. People in your company will read it as well, and you should encourage that. It's okay to say to like, why are we writing this blog post? Oh, well, it's for marketing. Oh, it's for, you know, hiring or whatever. It's also to showcase the culture and work of your team to other people in the company. People get benefit from it outside of what normally gets used as the justification. So going back to OnCall briefly, try as much as you can to take the sting out of the pager. What I mean by that is don't support a horror show. If your pager won't stop beeping, then throwing more and more people on the end of it won't reduce the beeps. You need to address those pages back at the source. You need to think about the long-term fixes that you can get from your postmortem action items. Postmortem action items should be focused more on the longer term than on the immediate fixing of the issue. So to go with an example, let's say you had some service, it ran out of memory because it was receiving more connections than usual. The thing you probably did in the short term was to bump its memory limit, get you out of that sticky situation, and everything's good again. That should not be the outcome of your postmortem, though. Perhaps you could add a upper bound on the number of connections that that service will handle before dropping them on the floor, some sort of connection limiter. That will mean that instead of a total failure, you may throw away a few requests, but your service remains generally up. This is the kind of thing you should do in a postmortem action item. You should also avoid fostering hero culture in your company. Now, if you're a long-standing existing member of your team, particularly if you're quite senior, you're well-placed to direct its culture and to filter out any ridiculous notions of this that creep in. To be concrete, at GoCardless, we have a culture doc. One section of it is on-call, and these are the headings. The one I really want to highlight is catch up on sleep after an incident. When I first joined the company, I had no idea if this was the norm or not. It was my first time seeing an SRE role. And at some point you have to ask, if we get woken up, can I have a lie-in? And the best thing for me is to just make it explicit. Put it there up front and say hey, we're all humans, we need to treat each other as humans, and it's okay, of course it's okay to sleep. you've had a hard night. Last point on call is pay your damn on-call. So many companies, startups, for some reason think it's cool to just lump this in with someone's job responsibilities, like with absolutely no difference in pay when they move into that role. What I mean specifically is tie the pay to the amount of time that the person is on call, which sets up all kinds of good incentives. Now that pay might be time off in lieu, or it could be actual pay. Or maybe if you're really progressive, you could let the employee choose between both options. Cool, rant over. So once you have showed these people why they may want to join your team, you have to find out how to mentor them. And this is actually possibly the biggest challenge in this entire talk. And fortunately, there is help in the form of a book I mentioned earlier. The part four of the SRE book is full of good advice, and it's tagged management, but I think management does a disservice to it because it goes through things I would consider broader than that, including mentoring of new joiners. I've picked out a few of my favorite ideas from there. The first one is disaster simulations. You can run through real events that your company ran into with your new joiner and see how they would react at each different stage. This is another reason to write good postmortems, because then you can go back and simulate these things later. If you have a way of spinning up small versions of your infrastructure, then you can use those in your training. You can have your new joiner spin up, say, a full Postgres cluster, break it, see what happens, and learn how to fix it. It's also important for them to learn reverse engineering skills. Now, this is looking at everything that a service exposes in terms of logged events, traces, metrics, anything along that sort of line. And the reason they need to do that is that they may have to do this when things are broken. You want to be able to look at a group of services that for some reason is not working, and looking at only the information they expose, figure out why they're not working. This really is this concept of peeling back the stack. You need to be able to do this under pressure. So first, do it not under pressure by teaching them. Lastly, as the warm up to being on call, like make sure that you actually warm them up. Make sure that you start by, say, shadowing pages to them a minute later, perhaps only during daytime hours. This should not be someone's first experience of on call. This is the worst thing you could do to someone, is put them on call and go like, cool, like if it breaks, then have fun. One thing that at GC we've done quite well, I think, or is my favorite bit of onboarding someone into SRE, is the idea of guided tours. Now, we had this huge stack earlier, and we need to get around it somehow. So when it comes to managing your sort of project and backlog work, you can make unusual choices in order to teach your new hire. So let's say you've got a couple of tasks, and I've got an extremely scientific graph of how valuable those tasks are. Let's say the task on the left is inherently, because of what it produces, a little bit better than the task on the right. But the learning value in the task on the right may mean that that's the one you should do first. You should give that one to your new joiner so that they can learn about whether it's DNS or your database or whatever. You should remember that onboarding someone is not a one-way process. These people come from different teams with different norms, different tools, and different techniques. They will bring stuff to you as well, as long as you listen. They may bring you a better way of testing your infrastructure code. They may bring you a better way of running postmortems or of running, say, project debriefs. They may bring you tools that you'd never heard of. Make sure you're listening for those things, because you'll only get it for the first 3 to 6 months of them joining. After that, they're kind of one of the team, and that signal will reduce. Lastly, remember to give them space. Sometimes there's just so much going on that the best thing for your new joiner is to take some time, take half a day or a day, and just go and play with some stuff that they've learned recently. Don't feel that you have to constantly feed them with a new stream of work every 5 minutes. So how's this going at GC? If we look back at our hiring stats, and we don't believe we can staff our team this way, what happens when we try and staff it by growing people? So we've had 8 people in our infrastructure team in its various guises over the years. That's past and current employees. 3 of those joined GoCardless as developers. So we cross-trained those people into SRE. 2 of them had done this elsewhere. So of those 8 people, at some point in their career, 5 of them had come from development into SRE or some similar infra role. So, hi, it works. I feel pretty strongly about this. Like, I have seen this work over and over again, and I don't understand like why we wouldn't do more of it. So, given those hiring numbers that I showed you, I am happy to weaken my stupid clickbait title. But if you do need more SREs, then maybe you should consider coaching them. And I don't know anyone who regrets kind of learning to mentor and coach people well. Like, it's a very exciting thing being part of someone's career growth. To be honest, it's more exciting than most of the software that we build. Thanks.